prayerful attention. I direct you to Psalm 147 and the first part of verse 6. Psalm 147 and the first part of verse 6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. Psalm 147 and the first part of verse 6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. We have here in this beautiful psalm the dear psalmist having a beautiful view of the greatness of the Lord and of his mighty power and what he will do. You see, the Lord said in Isaiah, didn't he, those beautiful words, I will work, and who shall let it? Now here he begins the psalm with a sacred note of praise. There were many psalms toward the end of the book of Psalms that begin with praise and end with praise. And what a blessed place to be found in when we can come in with the dear psalmist and truly praise his holy name. But too, he speaks here what the Lord will do for his dear people. First of all, he said, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Now the Lord will wonderfully build up his people, and he'll build up his church in his time and in his way. There are several ways the Lord builds up his people in their souls. He builds them up in his most holy faith. He builds them up to establish them in the truth as it is in Jesus. But he builds up his church too. And if there's to be a building up of the churches, it will begin in the hearts of the Lord's people. I love that word in the prophecy of Jeremiah. It's been very sweet to me on different occasions. The Lord said to him, again, I will build thee. You see, he'd known what it was to be built up before, but he needed it again, didn't he? And do we not need in this solemn dark day in which we live the Lord to build up our souls in love to him and praise to him and build us up in the vital things of God and then build the churches? He says here, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem, and he will, in his time, in his way, and gather with together the outcasts of Israel. You know, we long for days like in the days of past where there were so many outcasts of Israel brought in by the Lord that there might be a building. You see, when there's a building, that was a growing, isn't it? And may it be so throughout Zion in these dark days, many of the outcasts of Israel gathered in, those that as yet fear not the Lord and know not the Lord, outcast by men, outcast by devils, but the Lord can bring them in. He says here, he gathereth. And you see, the Lord is a sovereign, how he does gather his dear people. But I just want to hint at this to lead up to the text. And then we find what further the Lord will do. But before I name it, let us look in our own hearts. Do we not need the Lord to do great things for us? The dear psalmist said, didn't he, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And he could look at those great things the Lord has done, and you think in your heart and in your pathway, can you look back and see how great things the Lord has done for you? Well, let me bring it home further. Do we desire that he will? Because here we have, and it's beautifully set forth by the dear psalmist under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what the Lord will do. Firstly, then, there's to be this blessed building up. And then secondly, the gathering of these outcasts of Israel. And then he says, he healeth the broken in heart. You see, it is only the Lord that can heal the broken hearted. Oh, it is. There are many things that break the heart of the child of God in these solemn dark days. Think of the sin there is within us. Does it not break your heart sometimes, Lord? Thou seest the wretchedness and sin there is within me. And you see, sin leaves its mark. To the child of God, the hymn writer said, there are those festering sores of sin. It's the broken-hearted, broken by God's holy law, and broken because of their sin. Broken because of their guilt, the vileness within, he healeth. It's these that need it, isn't it? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And you know, when we know sickness, even in body, we need healing, don't we? But far greater so in our souls. And this is what the Holy Spirit was showing through the dear psalmist what the Lord was going to do. And one felt when this word dropped in, oh, that we might know more and more of it and see the Lord working. He healeth the brokenhearted. Is the one brokenhearted tonight? You see, Satan will do all he can to cause you grief and sorrow and lays you ever so low when he is let loose, doesn't he? And all those broken-hearted sinners need a precious Saviour to heal them. You think of those that came to the dear Redeemer while he walked this earth. And how they needed that healing, both in body, healing in soul. And you'll find in so many of those cases, they had their bodily afflictions, but coupled with it were the great afflictions in their souls. We sing in the hymn, don't we, O Zion afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save. And it may be in a special way, those of you that may have afflictions tonight, whether they're outward or inward, there's one that can heal. And he has all power to, isn't he? May we not be left to limit his power in healing. I think of a dear man, I may have mentioned it before, but you know, in London, a godly deacon years ago, and the doctors told him when his wife was fairly young, and they got a young family, that as she lay so ill in the hospital and on the borders, really, as it looked of eternity, and oh, the affliction she was in, and the doctors said they could do no more for her. And the dear man, of course, he was absolutely devastated by it all. And he said, you know, she didn't respond to anything, not even when he spoke to her. And he said he went out of that hospital with a broken heart, fearing she would be taken. And he said, as he went out, he said the Lord gave him a sweet measure of faith to believe he would heal her. And he said, he went and he knelt down in the rose bed in the garden outside the window where she lay in the hospital and wrestled with the Lord. And he said the Lord showed him as he pleaded with the Lord that he would raise her up. And yet it looked an impossibility. And he went back into the hospital before he went to his home. And thought, oh, I'll just have one more little look at her and speak to her. And he went in, you know, and she opened her eyes and spoke to him. And he said from that very moment she started to get better. The doctors said it was only a miracle that could save her. And the Lord was to wonderfully perform that which was impossible with me. We find here, he, the eternal God, he that hath all power, he healeth the brokenhearted. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Jesus heals the brokenhearted. And oh, may we know more and more of that blessed power manifested in healing. Bindeth up their wounds. Oh, he can bind them up, poor soul. And when he does, you see, the margin tells us their griefs. There may be those tonight that have many griefs, many things to burden you, and they cause you, don't they, many nights of pleading and wrestling with the Lord and for his appearing. He bindeth up. These are the Lord's words. Their wounds, and he knows what they are tonight with you and with me. And then he goes further. He telleth the number of the stars. They're all in his hand, you see. You may look in the starry heaven sometimes and you think, well, I'll count a few of them. But they're past counting, aren't they? Fresh ones appear, but they're all in the Lord's hand. He telleth the number of the stars. They're all in his hand. And so are his dear people. You know, the Lord has his stars in Zion. Like a star twinkles with light and reflect, the light is soon seen, isn't it, on a clear night. You think about it spiritually. The Lord has these stars in Zion among his dear people. They're precious stars. And their light shines. It's manifested like in the Acts of the Apostles. They have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. Their light so shined, isn't it? What about yours and mine? Does it shine in the earth? I think when we stood at the grave last Thursday and I thought of our beloved friend, you know, and I thought, you know, throughout his life he shone as a light, just like a star, seen by the Lord, known by the Lord, and his light shone before men, shone before the Lord, shone before the world, shone before his dear people. May we have that sort of religion, that our light might so shine. He telleth the number of the stars. You see, the Lord knows where everyone is. And he knows where every one of his dear people are. Even these outcasts of Israel. He knows where they are. He knew where Saul of Tarsus was on the Damascus road. He knew where Jonah was in the fish's belly. Remember a dear man saying to me once, he said, you know, I've got so much trouble. He said, I think I'll go to Australia or go somewhere abroad to get away from it. He said, but you know, when I thought about it, he said, I can't get away from myself, and that's the greatest trouble. He said, but the Lord knows where I am, and he knows how to appear. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. You see, the Lord knows the names of his dear people. Oh, he does. And he knows the names of the wicked. You think when the dear mother of Jacob and Esau inquired of the Lord of the struggle that was within him. And what did the Lord say? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. There shall be two nations separated from thy womb. You see, the Lord knows where his people are. He knows those that are not yet born, that are in the womb of the covenant. It's a wonderful thing that is, isn't it? They must be born. Why? To praise his blessed name. He calleth them all by their name. And oh, you think he changed the name of Jacob to Israel, didn't he? And oh, how dear old Israel Jacob was to know the blessings of the Lord. The Lord being a prayer hearing and prayer answering God to the dear man. And he knew his name, didn't he? Oh yes. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. But then he says, and really this is the key to it all, really. The great is our Lord, and of great power. He had a wonderful view, didn't he, the dear psalmist, of the greatness of the Lord. And the more we view the greatness of the Lord, as he reveals it to us, how great he is, and how great his power is, the more we shall know how poor we are, how weak we are, how helpless we are, and that without him we can do nothing. Great is our Lord. Now notice the word in the dear psalmist says, great is our Lord. He wasn't speaking of a strange God, was he? Our Lord. Can you say tonight, and can I say, he's our Lord? We often think of that beautiful hymn, dear Mr. Hills used to often give it out here. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Is that your desire, that he might be your God and my God? Dear Ruth desired it, didn't she? When Naomi put them to the test, her and Orpah, go back to thy gods and to thy people. What did she say? Entreat me not to leave, or to return from following after thee. For where thou dwellest will I dwell, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Oh, may the Lord grant to us what he did to the psalmist. Great is our Lord, our Lord. You see, he knew what it was to have living contact with heaven, sweet communion with the Lord, fellowship with him. And he knew how great the Lord was in his power, mighty to save. Think of that beautiful word in Isaiah, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Great is our Lord, and of great power. Now some of you may have got, and I really wasn't intending going through the psalm tonight, but it seemed to so come as we stood up before you, but look in your heart and mind tonight, have you got things that you need the Lord to come with great power in? It may be in deliverance, it may be in removing all your sin, it may be appearing for you in matters of providence, it may be in answering your prayers and desires. Of great power, and none can limit his power, you know, he's almighty. Oh, the power. You think of the dear Saviour when he called Lazarus forth, the power that was manifested with his word. The power he manifested when he healed the sick, bound up the brokenhearted, healed the blind. Oh, this power. And then think of it at the blessed resurrection morn. Well, he told the Pharisees, didn't he? I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again. Oh, the power of the Lord. He raises monarchs to their throne and sinks them when he's pleased. Look at the Lord manifesting his power at the Red Sea, delivering the children of Israel, but oh, causing the waters to stand as a wall on the right hand and on the left, his great power. May we not be left to limit his power. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when he sent those dear disciples to preach, that's how he sent them. And every God-sent servant anointed by the Spirit will be sent with that power. And there will be power in the preaching. He doesn't have to shout. He doesn't have to raise his voice, but there will be the power. You know, sometimes you may hear just a still small voice like Elijah did, whispering the word, but oh, the power. The Pharisees even saw it, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because his word was with power. But I must hasten to the text. His understanding is infinite. Oh, it is, poor soul. Great understanding. He understands his people. He understands all these wondrous works, his dealings with them and for them and in them. None can fathom out the understanding of the Lord. May we be given a little glimpse of that understanding and have it in our own hearts. What did the wise man say in Proverbs? Get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. May we have a little of the understanding that God gives to his dear children. But this word seemed to so rest upon me, and I just want to have a brief word about it. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He lifteth up the meek. Well, there's two things here, really. Now, the first is this, how meek are we? Do we desire to be meek and tender and humble before the Lord? the hymn writer desired it, didn't he, when he said, Lord, make me as a little child, right simple-hearted, meek and mild, and loving to the end. Oh, to be among these meek, you see. What seemed to so rest upon me, you know, we were at the back of our house, there's some lovely little lambs, and you look at the meekness there is and the tenderness in them. And that's where the Lord brings his dear people. There may be those that are so rebellious and stiff-necked and hardened, and we are by nature. We've no stones to throw at Saul of Tarsus in his unregenerate days. How hard he was and rebellious in the natural religion and brought up in it. Hated the name of the Saviour. But you look where the Lord brought him, on that Damascus road, to be meek, tender, humble before the Lord. Think of the wise man's word when he said, before honour is humility. Before honour. Now you see, the Lord will honour humble souls. The dear Apostle Peter could well write it, couldn't he? Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now these meek characters, you see, the Lord makes them meek. He makes them tender. He makes them humble. He makes them submissive to his will. Oh, he does. And I don't know why I name it tonight, but you know, to be submissive to the will of the Lord. Thy will be done. Do you have to say that today, Lord, in things that concern, but thy will be done, not ours, but the will of the Lord. And when we are meek, we are be submissive to that will. And that's where the Lord brought Saul of Tarsus, on that Damascus road. Instead of him being a hard, rebellious man, he makes him meek. Tender, you see, to do what the Lord commanded. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you know, that came out of a very meek-hearted soul, it did. Oh, it did. The same with Legion, the mad Gadarene, how the Lord brought him to his dear feet and made him so meek and so humble. He sat, we read, at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. A meek character. You think of a little babe, how meek and helpless that is, dependent upon its mother. And this is where the Lord will bring each of us, if we're his children, to be like that little child. That little babe, meek, dependent upon the Lord for everything they need. Now these meek characters often come into some very low places because of their sin. Because of the troubles of the journey, the afflictions they have to bear, the opposition of Satan, the roaring devil, and oh, how low they sink. And there may be one here tonight in a low place. The psalmist knew it in Psalm 116, didn't he? He said, I was brought low, but he helped me. I shall never forget preaching from that on the first Lord's Day in 1967 at Ponsard Road in London. The Lord had brought me down with nervous exhaustion. I was so weak. And the Lord gave me that text. I was brought low, and I knew it in body, or I knew it in mind, or I knew it in my soul. I was brought low. And these meek characters know what it is to be brought low, but the wonderful thing is in our text it says this, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He will lift them up. Like that little baby cannot lift itself up, dependent upon its mother. So the Lord will have his dear people. He'll bring them into these low places. Why? That they might prove the wonders he alone can do. He will lift them up. And how will he lift them up? Well, he's a sovereign, how he lifts them up. It's like the little babe that needs to be lifted up tenderly and rightly and supported. And so the child of God does, these meek characters. And how will he lift them up? Well, firstly, he will lift them up by appearing to them. It may be manifesting himself to them. And as he manifests himself, they see no man save Jesus. And what does it do? It lifts them up. And then he'll lift them up by speaking to them. A word from himself. What did the psalmist say? Lift thou me up and I shall be safe. He may speak audibly, you see, a word to lift you up. I bound thee up secure. Midst all the rage of hell. A word to lift the sinner up. I was thinking what I was reading in the writings of our dear friend last week, and I remember so well going to Braintree to preach, and I preach from these words, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And you know, the dear man had been in so much trouble. He said to me after the service, as I was coming away from the chapel, he said, you know, you came with the right word tonight. It's really lifted me up. And we need lifting up, don't we? What does the hymn writer say? Who can lift us up but thou? And there may be those of you tonight in this low place. The Lord knows the reason why. Well, you need lifting up. And you cannot lift yourself up, can you? You need him to lift you up. And it may be under the preaching of the word, or it may be as you read the holy word of God, and the word lifts you right out of that low place. The psalmist knew it when he said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. And like as he lifted Lazarus out of the tomb, so the Lord can lift up his people today. Lift thou me up and I shall praise. Here he says this beautiful word, the Lord, it's all his work, and therefore he must have all the praise. The Lord lifted up the meek. So do you need something to lift you up tonight, poor soul? Well, may the Lord grant it. A word from himself. A token for good. A visit from Zion's King. The Lord draw near like he did to the two that journeyed to Emmaus. And he lifted them up, didn't he? By his sweet presence, by what he speaks to them. The Lord lifteth up the meek. Now, these meek characters, you see, they're precious in his sight. And he won't let them perish or sink into utter despair. So he will lift them up. And the day will come when he'll lift their redeemed souls up into glory, to be with him without a veil between, and crown him Lord of all. Well, I've scratched the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the word. Amen.